Ellen DeGeneres might have had the biggest fall from grace of all time. In just a matter of days, her 2 decades reign as the queen of daytime TV completely fell apart. And despite her self-proclaimed title as the nicest person in show business, there were some clear warning signs as to who she really was. Like when she pressured Mariah Carey into revealing her pregnancy before she was ready.
Thing is that people are saying that that you're pregnant. There's rumors.
Don't discuss that.
All right. Well, you don't have to.
No, that's okay. No, honestly,
you don't have to answer. Let's just toast with champagne and decide.
But they've been saying that since we.
The moment came all the way back in 2008, 12 years before the truth about Ellen would really come out. Mariah, like countless celebrities before her, had come onto the daytime talk show expecting some easy questions and some wholesome fun. But instead, halfway through the interview, Ellen ambushed her with questions about rumors that she was pregnant. While the audience were laughing along at the time, it's clear now just how uncomfortable this really was.
I can have some champagne. It's just fattening. So,
you can't have champagne?
That's not champagne, because you can't.
No, it
have
is.
One. Is it really?
Yeah, you want to taste it?
I can't believe you did this to me, Ellen.
What?
No, are you trying?
I'm not going to ask you if you're pregnant or not.
This is peer pressure. You see what Ellen is doing? This is peer pressure.
Let's toast to you not being pregnant. If you're not pregnant, then
oh,
we should.
Oh my goodness.
By doing this, Ellen put Mariah into an awful position, either having to endanger her future child or reveal her personal life to the entire world. It's incredibly abusive and invasive to do this to someone, especially on live television, knowing what happened afterwards. You see, Mariah lost her child later on in her pregnancy, and subsequent interviews showed just how much this moment affected her.
I have my own dog, actually, she's pregnant. I have two dogs, both
Jack Russells. And her master isn't.
Her master, well, let me take some of the vodka next to me.
Why aren't you answering?
Ellen did that to me and tried to put me on the spot.
All right.
With some alcohol.
Okay.
I'm not real alcohol.
I'm trying to put you on the spot.
In an interview a year later on with Larry King, she's nearly in tears from discussing what Ellen did. The wound was still raw. In an interview from 2020 with Vulture magazine, Mariah Carey said that, quote, "I was extremely uncomfortable with that moment is all I can say, and I really have had a hard time grappling with the aftermath. I didn't enjoy that moment." What this did was show that Ellen's actions still hurt years and years after the fact, all just for a bit of gossip on daytime talk show that people only remember now because of how awful this really was. It's moments like this that make you doubt how Ellen ever got a reputation for kindness, or how she even got started in the industry to begin with. In truth, it was a rocky road at first. Ellen began her career and ended it recently as a comedian. For years she had great success, working her way up from comedy clubs into the mainstream. This gave her parts in films, and eventually her very own self-titled sitcom. But in 1997, at the height of the show's popularity, she came out to the world. This was one of the first times this had ever happened with such a big star. And while her bravery was praised by the show business world, it also either caused or coincided with a sharp drop in the show's popularity. It was cancelled just one season later. An attempt at a different sitcom didn't work either, and for a few years, Ellen slowly faded out of the public eye. That was until 2003, when she got a role that would restart her career and kickstart her journey back up to the top. In many ways, Dory from Finding Nemo was the perfect role for Ellen and her image. She played the scatterbrained but energetic and upbeat character so well that it felt like it was made for her. And the massive success of this film, especially her role in it, gave her the exact blueprint she needed. Ellen would then take this and synthesize it into a whole new vision for her career, playing a version of this character for the next 20 years. In that very same year, Ellen then began hosting The Ellen DeGeneres Show. Her positive, innocent, and energetic persona cut a stark contrast to the rest of the daytime TV landscape. For years, shows like The Jerry Springer Show had dominated TV with their focus on conflict and taking it as far as possible. But Ellen was seemingly different, with people describing her interviewing style as like talking to an innocent, overexcited 12-year-old, as it gave this impression of a wholesome, harmless show that was easily digested by the masses. But as we find out later on, it was all just a performance. Even before the truth finally came out though, there were a whole lot of hints coming up to this. You see, Mariah wasn't the only celebrity to have negative experiences on The Ellen Show. Over the years, there have been way too many awkward and toxic moments to count.
Why do you deny it?
Because we didn't.
Oh, okay. So,
as a lot of Ellen's jokes often relied at poking fun at her guests, whoever they might have been. And while most of the time this came off as good-natured banter, sometimes her angles of the attack would reveal the depths of her inner prejudices. Ellen actually often had a go at translators she had on the show, as well as the guests that they were translating for. I mean, just take a look at how she spoke to one translator in this clip.
学会在学怎么弹电子吉他。你还想再学？
Just one question. Just what else does he want?
I don't know what you're telling him, but just ask him what I'm saying.
Okay, sorry.
Translation is hard on its own, let alone between a child and an adult in front of a live audience. Then, without any clue as to whether her assumptions are right, Ellen cuts off the translator mid-sentence like she's taking too long. Then Ellen would spend the next few minutes digging further into this joke, finally ending it by saying that she's lost interest and cutting off the kid mid-sentence.
就弹一些演奏曲子，就是指单。
Never mind. Okay.
Hints like these were rare at first. Most of the time on the show, she was being kind, doing giveaways with the studios' money, and just generally reinforcing her on-screen persona.
So you're going through a tough time financially. It's just hard with four kids. Why don't I just give you every single thing we gave away on all 12 days?
It was hard for people to see her slip-ups as anything more than just a bad day. Meanwhile, whenever Ellen made audience members or guests feel small, they couldn't really do anything about it. Her fame and her power over the world of show business, combined with everyone thinking that she was this lovely, wholesome person, made her untouchable. It was only sometimes when she had guests on her level of fame that she was ever actually challenged.Ellen's relationship with Taylor Swift was an interesting example. At first, she treated her like any of her other guests, putting childish pranks on her and generally making jokes at her expense. It was after years of these that Taylor and her friend Zac Efron decided to get back at Ellen in possibly the most innocent way possible, by writing a song about it to perform on the show itself. Regardless of how you feel about Taylor Swift, it's kind of satisfying to see Ellen get a taste of her own medicine. She has to pretend to enjoy this while you can tell that on the inside, she absolutely hates being upstaged, called out in a way that she really can't respond. The way she's holding onto her armrest so tightly proves how much she's struggling to hold herself back. While all of this might have just been speculation, Taylor's next appearance on the show proved Ellen was definitely holding a grudge. Later that year, during Taylor's next appearance, Ellen decided to probe at a topic that struck a nerve with Taylor for years, her love life. In the interview, Ellen started out by implying that Taylor was dating Zac Efron, who she was just on the show with previously, before launching into a game designed to reveal Taylor's private life.
You were here with your boyfriend Zac Efron last time.
No, I haven't talked to him in a while because we didn't date.
Yes, you did. Why do you deny it?
Because we didn't.
Oh, okay. So, which song is about Zac on the new CD?
There's nothing really about Zac on the CD because we didn't date.
All right.
So,
yeah. Okay. Here's what I'll do. You don't have to say. I'm going to show pictures.Here's a bell, and you ring it.
I don't know if I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, you will.
This is the one thing that I have. It's like the one shred of dignity that I have, is I know that...
What do you mean, one shred of dignity?
Just filled with dignity.
Ring it on three different guys. We'll narrow it down. So ring it three different times. You're supposed to ring...
But
what?
I don't want to. I don't want to.
All right,
what are you doing?
All the while, Taylor is protesting about how she doesn't want to do this, that it's the last part of her life that's still private, and that it gives a bad impression. It's exactly what she called Ellen out on before, and she's almost brought to tears. It's clearly been designed by Ellen to take revenge on Taylor for calling her out. She's gleeful in how uncomfortable it's making her, while she presses ahead despite how much Taylor is protesting it. Taylor, meanwhile, knows that walking out would be a massive scandal for the tabloids,So all she can really do is just sit and take it. Whilst these were some of the more famous on-screen hints as to who Ellen really was, there were definitely plenty of others. Over time, they began to add up, and slowly, year by year, the illusion began to break. But before we continue, I want to tell you about our video sponsor. Imagine this. What would happen if you chucked your vape from the tallest skyscraper in your city? Well, you might just want to find that out once you've tried Fume.Fume is an award-winning flavored air device with no vapor, no nicotine, and just natural flavor. And if you're looking to step away from old habits, Fume makes it easy by giving you something enjoyable to reach for anytime, anywhere. You see, Fume brings flavor to your mouth and not your lungs, and by doing this, it fills the void that ditching a bad habit can leave, as you'll still have something satisfying to reach for.With just flavored air, which means you can actually use this anywhere, as there's no smoke, there's no vapor, and no restrictions. All the while, it's 100% nicotine free with no chemicals or addiction. And you can just pick it up and go, as there's no batteries or charging either, all for a fraction of the cost of vaping and smoking, saving you so much money while making a better choice. And whether you're looking to just keep your hands busy or curb an urge, Fume's premium wooden design is built for both flavor and function.And their magnetic fidget feature adds an extra layer of satisfaction, making it perfect for relieving stress and just staying focused. Personally for me, my go-to flavor is crisp mint because it's super refreshing and keeps me feeling sharp throughout the day. But Fume also offers tons of different flavors, so there's something for everyone. So if you've been thinking about making a switch, try Fume today, as right now they're giving away a free topper when you grab a journey pack.So just go to tryfume.com/moon or scan the QR code on screen and use the code moon at checkout. On air, she would often humiliate audience members regardless of what they did. One time they had a fake giveaway where people from the audience were told just to take one piece of Ellen merchandise from a table. It was all a setup designed to catch someone out. When one lady took something extra for her sister, Ellen would replay the secret footage of it to the whole world just to shame her. Then she made her sit in a so-called prison right in front of everyone, away from the main audience.
So before the show, I put out some Ellen products with a sign that said only one per person, and I just wanted to see how honest my audience was, you know? But we set up hidden cameras just to make sure. I mean, any of you could have taken more than one thing, and you didn't. Except for these ladies right here. Listen, I'm sorry. That's embarrassing and everything, but, you know, let that be a lesson to you, because you think...
It is.
You think nobody's watching you, and you just need to be a good person just because you want to be a good person. You go sit in that Ellen jail over there right now.
In this scenario, someone did something marginally wrong, and Ellen took her response way too far. But to get on Ellen's bad side, you didn't even need to do anything wrong at all. One time, a fan of the show sent in a painting they had made of Ellen and her wife. It seemed to be a lovely gesture born out of how much someone had loved the show. But instead of praising it or treasuring it, or even just ignoring it, Ellen called them out on live TV and made fun of the portrait instead.
And here it is. Yeah. That's what I said when I saw it. Oh. It's called Ellen and Portia number 10. He took 10 tries, but he finally got it. This is when Portia and I would weave our hair together. We would, It's actually a good portrait of Ryan Seacrest and Kelly Ripa. I may send it to them.
Whenever anyone put a stop to this or tried to outshine Ellen on her own show, she would react very strongly. Some people like Ricky Gervais naturally just showed her up. In a strange trivia game she made him play against her on the show, he beat her both at the game and made quicker, funnier jokes than her. You can see how much this annoys her, but she can't do anything in response because everyone else is also having fun. As time went on, little moments like these slowly led an open secret in Hollywood and show business as a whole. The fact that Ellen was actually not nice at all. It's actually amazing how much evidence there is of this from just her on-air performances. In the later part of the 2010s, things only got so much worse for Ellen. While on the surface the show did seem to still perform well, it wasn't where it once was. Years and years of keeping up this character had clearly drained Ellen. She stopped her iconic dancing, brought in guest hosts, recycled content, and just generally put up far less effort into the whole thing. Meanwhile, her ability to keep up the persona had begun to fall apart. Mean-spirited jabs that used to be well hidden started backfiring. In one interview with Dakota Johnson, for example, Ellen pressed her on not being invited to her birthday party. But little did she know that Dakota was already well prepared for this jab.
You turned 30.
I did.
And how was the party? I wasn't invited.
Actually, no, that's not the truth, Ellen. You were invited. Last time I was on the show, last year, you gave me a bunch of shit about not inviting you, but I didn't even know you wanted to be invited.
Well, who doesn't want to be invited to a party?
Well, I didn't even know you liked me.
This one clip from 2019 went viral and did major damage to Ellen's reputation, which was already beginning to fall apart at the seams. It also showed the laziness that had taken over the show as well as Ellen's severely overinflated ego. And you can see how much it troubles her as it unfolds. She knows she just got caught completely red-handed, especially as she pulled exactly the same trick last year. By the time 2020 rolled around, Ellen's show was truly on its last legs. When lockdown came, it only upended things even more. Ellen's show couldn't continue as it had. I mean, you can't really sit down with people every day and have a live audience when everyone's in quarantine. But what was much worse for Ellen's career than the lockdown's effects on the show was how she handled it herself. Like other celebrities, she was fully involved in the whole Imagine publicity stunt. Then she made posts talking about how she felt like she was in prison, all from one of the many rooms in one of her multi-million dollar mansions. Just the on-air stuff we've already seen should have easily been enough to get people asking questions. But there were also tons of hints based on how she acted off-set as well. In fact, it was these little moments that are likely to have contributed to her downfall far more than what happened in front of the cameras. In individual moments with fans and members of the public, Ellen showed her true colors. Each of these small examples of disrespect weren't enough on their own, but added up, they created an awful career-ending picture. Once this finally broke, it was going to be all over for Ellen. It was in 2020 that these experiences really came into focus, when the comedian Kevin Porter asked people for their negative Ellen experiences on Twitter, offering charity donations in return for each one. And he couldn't have ever expected the massive outpouring of stories he got. With over 2,600 replies and counting, it seemed like everyone in Hollywood who had met Ellen had something awful to say. So many things that you can't think for one second they weren't based on the truth. To list just a few highlights, there were tons of stories about Ellen insisting that people shouldn't look at her or talk to her. She would not thank or even acknowledge people who brought her things like coffee, or she would just completely ignore the live audience when she didn't absolutely have to talk to them. One waitress who served Ellen and her wife at a restaurant was allegedly insulted by her and shamed for having chipped nail polish of all things. A week later, she was then fired after Ellen strangely and viciously complained about her to her managers. And if that wasn't bad enough, the majority of the complaints came from people who worked on her show. There were numerous reports of a toxic working environment, racism, prejudice, insults, and people would get fired for speaking up or even just taking bereavement or medical leave. This all got the ball rolling. And from just one Twitter thread, the open secret was no longer taboo. A few months later, BuzzFeed then released information from the first formal investigation of the show. It included far more detail and tons more allegations against the show and Ellen herself. While the reputation of niceness that Ellen had built insulated her for years, it backfired spectacularly once the truth became publicly known. Deprived of the very selling points and idea behind her show and her persona, she was forced to retire. After the allegations, the show carried on for one more tired season. Then it was cancelled, never to return. Now it's worth asking how this could have gone on for so long in the first place though. Fame and power obviously give people their own protection, but it's still a testament to the rot within Hollywood and show business that this could ever happen. Ellen built an entire brand on being kind and open, while undermining people, being rude to people, and treating them like trash the whole time. And it's not even just her, people like James Corden have also had similar allegations. But all of this makes her recent Netflix special all the more insulting, where she still plays the victim and acts like all of this was just overblown. However, these are the same techniques that kept her on the top. Celebrities that came onto the show only to get insulted or humiliated, they couldn't speak out. They're forced to appear on these shows most of the time anyway to just promote their movies or music. Then they have to endure whatever happens just to get some publicity. Ellen took advantage of this power imbalance. If they spoke up without enough proof, then they would be risking their own careers and reputation within the entire industry. Audience members and less famous guests were in the exact same position, only they wouldn't even be heard if they spoke up anyway. Lastly, there were the people working for her who were completely at her mercy. They didn't have any choice at all. Their whole livelihoods depended on staying on Ellen's good side or flying under her radar. It's this popularity contest and these social pressures that enabled someone like Ellen to have so much power and fame in the first place. What's more, Ellen used her immense wealth and fame to become a house flipper for celebrities, and this gave her even more influence in Hollywood circles, perpetuating her career in spite of how awful she treated everyone. This is how she spends her time now. Most recently, she bought yet another mansion in the British countryside, along with a ton of other multi-millionaire celebrities. While she might have lost her show, both Ellen and the forces that created her are still deeply embedded in modern Hollywood. Instead of being a cautionary tale, her story tells us that you can do pretty much anything you like as long as you have enough fame and power. When such a rotten apple can be declared as the sweetest of the bunch, you know there's a much bigger problem at play. And thank you, Fume, for sponsoring this video. Remember to check them out with the link in the description below.